Yes, it's that time of the week again. It's been some week. But we have a show to do and life goes on. And today's date is March the 24th. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. We go on, indeed. A fairly breathless week for me. 2 6-hour round trips, a house closing, and then having to sort out permits. What else? Electric, water, vinyl sidings, AC units, and all other things to boot, as well as packing and writing 1, 2, 3, 4 shows, all in the same week. But we have a show today. And whilst the world looks in chaos, and it is, there are many positives ongoing currently that should occupy our attention. The ongoing disclosure is revealing more and more, and confirmations of our own show continues at a pace. But amidst all that, we at THI and TPC are developing along nicely with the website upgrades, the book moving forward, the communal gatherings doing really well, and the village is coming along nicely as well. More on that next week. And new ideas are being put forward, and we are developing nicely now, and the next few months should see that being escalated. And this should be a source of pride for us all, of how a few committed people can be the change we all wish to see. And let's keep it rolling. But if people had doubts over certain things, then last week's show brought us a lot more truth and understanding than perhaps many realised. The first thing was the desperate letter from the Rothschilds, terrified that their new world order is collapsing. Well, bully for you. But if your new world order is based around losing one country, then it is flimsy at the very least. But I suspect that it is not going their way on many other levels, not just the Ukraine incident. And they are concerned that out of Ukraine will reveal more of the truth than they can handle, not we. And the embarrassing way the US government has reacted to the Ukraine situation, the Afghanistan withdrawal, the southern border issue, the gas prices issue, and the cover-up of the Hunter Biden-ish situation renders it weak and looking pathetic right across the world. All of which has revealed levels of incompetence on a massive scale, and that is without mentioning the COVID farce. It's bordering on Keystone Cops levels. And the US government around the world now, and indeed Canada after today, is seen as an embarrassment, and more importantly, weak. It always was weak. That's what people don't get. And relied on bully boy tactics to scare people rather than actually being a threat. And hopefully more Americans now will see this as a fact and stop the ridiculous merry-go-round of one party being better than the other. They are simply not. But the biggest slam dunk last week has hardly created a ripple, except from our show, as Victoria Nuland basically threw the whole of the US government under the bus in a massive faux pas. And she in one statement proved that Biden, Psaki and many others who had denied the US biolabs as preposterous when suddenly she admitted it in full public glare. It's no surprise Nuland is born in and born to, as she and her ilk, and we'll have more of those born in, born to this today. She and her ilk have done everything to undermine not only the government, but the whole country from day one. And that should have revealed who is the real problem to many Americans. And the question remains is, what do we do about it? Right, let's get into some news. And Russia's foreign ministry says it has imposed sanctions on, take note of the names, all of them are connected to the clown Obama and Rothschilds and the Muslim Brotherhood. So Russia imposed sanctions on Joe Biden and 12 other US officials, and the list includes Secretary of State, born in, born to, Anthony Blinken, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, the Press Secretary when she feels like it, Jen Psaki, and other members of the administration. It also includes a dead person, the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Biden's son Hunter. And the measures block their entry into Russia and freeze any assets held in the country. However, the ministry has said that the sanctions will not impede necessary high-level contacts for the infected individuals, affected or infected. Now, other names on the list is the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, the Deputy National Security Advisor, Dalip Singh, and the US Agency for International Development Administrator, Samantha Power, who I think is another one born in, born to. And Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, Wally Adameo, and President of the Export-Import Bank of the US, Rita Jo Lewis. Now, the ministry said it's applying sanctions on the basis of reciprocity. I knew I was going to say that word wrong. And it looks to me, for me anyway, all of it is based upon factions. And yet more revealings. Don't believe all the world is a stage, being ran by Jewish and CIA producers, then this will confirm more of it. The clown, Zelensky, the so-called Ukrainian premier, is born to Jewish parents in a town in central Ukraine back in January 1978. And it says this, and yet his early life remains shrouded in mystery. I wonder why. It's called grooming. Now, Zelensky was groomed by covert CIA operatives in Ukraine since his student life while he was studying law at Kryvyi Rih National University. And instead of pursuing a legal career, he chose acting as a profession at the behest of his influential patrons to gain nationwide publicity, and particularly through the comedy, yes, comedy television series called Servant of the People, in which Zelensky prophetically, as it turns out, played the role of the Ukrainian president. Well, I never. Now, his production company, Kvartal 95, which produces films, cartoons and television shows, was generously funded by deep pockets of Western security agencies. Oops. And during the show, he was comically exposing corruption and sleazy dealings of Ukraine's politicians and oligarch. And the series aired from 2015 to 2019, and it struck a chord with the Ukrainian masses. Now, Western security agencies, MI5, Assad and CIA, not only lavishly funded his obscure media organization, but also introduced them to a clandestine cabal of illustrious Hollywood producers and directors adept in psychological warfare and public relations. MKUltra. Of course, Hollywood is run by Jewish elites, as we know. Now, riding on the wave of media publicity, Zelensky won a landslide presidential election in 2019, and later his political party, which he coincidentally named Servants of the People, the same as the TV series, won an overwhelming victory in a snap election that was held shortly after his inauguration as president. Now, since 2019, after being elected president through questionable methods, Zelensky has surreptitiously been working on a clandestine project to foment a crisis with Russia on a flimsy pretext since 2019. And it said any other political leader with an iota of rational faculties, even somebody as rogue as his predecessor, Petro Poroshenko, would promptly have agreed to the Kremlin's reasonable proposal that Kiev must give a solemn pledge it won't join NATO. But not only did he rebuff the Russian proposal, but he also let Ukraine's security forces stage joint military exercises and naval drills alongside NATO forces in the Black Sea, right under Russia's nose. Provocation? Of course it is. The media won't tell you that. But his reckless disregard for the suffering of the Ukrainian people and suicidally provoking Russia into an armed confrontation aside, Zelensky is merely a pawn in the grand scheme of things. Like we've said all along, all the world is a stage. Jen Psaki, the press secretary of the White House, when she feels like it, has come under fire for lying about gas prices, COVID, and the US biolabs in Ukraine, has done a runner and declared fake COVID this week. And it appears that it is the new remit of the old establishment. If the heat has turned up or turned on, fake COVID and wait until the story blows over. And I'm sure this is the second time she's pulled that stunt. Now, the new spokesman, Chris Meagher, he made a meagher attempt to deflect things. And he comes out and said no members of the press who was with Psaki the day prior are considered to be close contacts. Funny that. So Psaki did a runner, just like Turdo. And here's another clown who's flitting off to Europe to talk shit. Biden raised eyebrows on Monday after he claimed a new world order would soon be established and it was up to the United States to lead it. Really? And during a speech at the Business Roundtable's CEO quarterly meeting, Biden claimed the world was at an inflection point which occurs every 3 or 4 generations. 70 years, the 70-year plan, they roll it back out again, and that it was up to the US to determine the outcome. And he said, as one of the top military people said to me in a security meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946, and since then we've established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while, he said. 60 million, including World War One and World War Two. They killed 70 to 90 million Russians alone during that time period. There was 40 million killed in World War One, and World War Two, 70 to 85 million. So that's 110 to 125 million, Mr. Biden. Did you go to Johns Hopkins as well? And that's based on the so-called official estimates. But that liberal world order has seen America have 19 major wars since World War II and has cost well over 20 million people lives. And that is likely an underestimate. But he said there's going to be a new world order out there and we have to lead it. Who is we? Because America leads nothing these days. Nothing of any value anyway. Except stupidity at government level, a math and geography deficiency, child level thinking, corruption, fraud, cover-ups, medical death and war deaths. That's what we lead the world in. But it doesn't have to be that way. But it will require radical changes, all of which can only come from the people. Biden was also under fire on Wednesday by the oil and gas industry for blaming companies for the gas price surge. And they said, which is it? You can't blame Putin and us at the same time. And the Kathleen Sagamo, who's president of the Western Energy Alliance, said the bottom line is we are not price makers. We are price takers. And we suffer from low prices. And then we have higher prices that is based on the price of oil globally. And she said that demand for oil has risen and there are various factors that go into the price of oil, including the fallout from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But we are not setting that price. And she said, we would love to produce more in the United States and help to bring down those prices. So the oil industry wants to produce more, which will reduce prices. Will they do that? Well, clearly not. But at first, Biden blamed Russia for the spike in gas prices, but then they'd been going up long before Russia did their invasion. And then he started to cast blame on the US energy companies. And in a tweet last week, he said, oil and gas companies were padding their profits at the expense of hard-working Americans. It's a bit like Congress then, isn't it? Oil prices are decreasing, he said. Gas prices should too. And the last time oil was $96 a barrel, gas was $3.62 a gallon. And now it's $4.31. Or $5, $6 or $7, depending on which part of the country you live in. And he said oil and gas companies shouldn't pad their profits at the expense of Americans, really. But remember, Biden in January, and we pulled him up on this show, said that gas prices would go below $3 a gallon. No, they doubled in some cases. And essentially, the increase in gas prices is another cost recovering from their overspending. That is, their overspending. Largely on war and agency clowns, plus fluffing up the banks. And the extra gas cost is like another inflation. It's another tax on the people. And if it wasn't, the simple solution would be an executive order decreasing all the taxes on the price of gas, because that would fix it overnight. The Israeli historian, author and transhumanist Noah Yuval Harari is named by multiple online sources as Klaus Schwab's top advisor. And one site even calls Harari the mastermind behind Schwab's demented ideas. And in his latest book, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, which we will ignore because it'll be a pile of shit, he said, quote, humans are now hackable animals. And the whole idea that humans have a soul or spirit and nobody knows what is happening inside of them and they have free will, that is over, he said. Which kind of makes perfect sense when you listen to Harari. You hear echoes of many Schwabian ideas as expressed in Schwab's books and speeches. And it was Schwab, remember, who said that the fourth industrial revolution would lead to the fusion of our physical, biological, and digital identities. And Schwab, like Harari, talks about human beings as if they are machines to be programmed and reprogrammed according to the behaviours that those in so-called authority would like them to have, making them obedient slaves of the Great Reset, well that didn't happen, which represents a totally transformed digital society. Now Schwab also said about the wireless connection between man and machine, which he sees merging into one, quote, hybrid entity, unquote. Hybrid entity. And a sort of humanity 2.0. But Harari claims, in direct opposition to Source, that humans are not in possession of a free will, and nor do they have a soul. And that goes some way to confirming our bot theory. And the question is, who brought them here and who created them? Because I think you'll find it's the same species again. And he suggests that there will be a new global surveillance system established in response to viral pandemics, which of course they create. And while the system may at first be seen as temporary, it will be prolonged indefinitely, he says. Which is just like a Warned in the Clowns in Panic show. Medical tyranny leads to global tyranny. But they won't get an easy ride. Now, Patrick Wood, the editor-in-chief at Technocracy News and Trends, has studied Harari in depth and says he has millions of devoted followers. And he is your model transhumanist who thinks he can become God. Another of the one people, thinking they are above Source. Which is why it was important now for people to understand the cosmic genetics shows. The one has never worked, like ever. Now, Harari is the chief philosophical advisor to the World Economic Forum and one of the premier authorities in the WEF circles, and he says they just hang on his every word. And the author says the level of evil we are dealing with here is so intense that most Christians and conservatives have no idea how deep it goes and will frankly have trouble believing it. No politician is going to be able to save us from this evil, only Jesus Christ. And therein lies the problem, the swinging pendulum game again. Because at no time in recorded history has the Saviour, no matter which name it is, has came in and saved us. Like, never. And that is child-level thinking and is a comforter in essence. And to change that, we need to grow up and produce adult-thinking people and save ourselves. These people are not strong we're dealing with, they're weak. They can't handle truth, just peddle lies and think they can ride roughshod over we the people. Well, I think they're in for a shock. But another thing worth noting is that Harari is not only tied in with Schwab, he has a large following amongst Western elites. And one of Harari's admirers is Barack Obama, who has the ear of Joe Biden. And so that connects to the first story. And in fact, Obama has called Harari his favourite author, with possible links to the Muslim Brotherhood then. But it is interesting that just as the US petrodollar is failing internationally, Biden, right on cue, issues an executive order last week calling for the Attorney General Merrick Garland, the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, born too, and the Fed Chairman Jeremy Powell to put together a report on the creation of a central bank digital currency. Now, his executive order states that this report, which is no doubt already with a pre-drawn conclusion, must be finished on Biden's desk within 180 days, or 6 months, ballpark. It should make it an interesting September. Now, the reason a digital currency will soon be needed is because the hard currency represented by physical paper and coinage, according to them, are going to be phased out shortly. And the decisions to this end are not being made at presidential level. Of course it's not, it's the clowns. And the drive towards a global digital monetary system involves decisions made by people at a much higher level, the top tier of international bankers such as the Rothschilds and others, and some of those whose names most of us would not even recognise. And he said the world stage now is geared towards the emergence of two things, the creation of a digital global ID system that will launch as a simple vaccine passport but evolve into a universally recognised overarching ID and the creation of a digital global money system, of which the World Economic Forum has been pushing for both. Now, once those two things are in place, and this is something we all have to take note of, the digital money and the digital ID for all persons, the global predators can proceed with the creation of a truly one world system. That's what all the COVID is covering up. And Ukraine. And if that unfolds, nothing will happen outside of their surveillance and control. Every transaction will be monitored. They will know what you bought, where you bought it, and how much you paid. And it will no longer be possible to purchase anything or conduct any business outside of the system, and it's all CNI. Now, other possible scenarios to this are if at the end of the year your purchases don't square up with your income, you will have to answer for it. If you buy too much storable food, too much gasoline or diesel fuel, too much ammunition, too much alcohol, too much gold or silver, you will have to answer for that too. And it said maybe the system won't even let you get to the point where you need to be questioned. and said there's a possibility that your digital money, since it is not only digital but programmable, will be programmed to automatically shut off when you reach your quota of which they set, of any goods or services that the government decides is right for you. And this will be required as part of your overall allotted carbon footprint necessary to save the planet. Yeah, right. And also keep your social credit score within the range of what is acceptable. And he said all of the corporations that make and sell stuff will be on board with the government. I'm not too sure they will. In enforcing this new totalitarian system. And of course they think this great reset is necessary for the greater good of humanity. Yeah, right. And the elites will tell us through their media lackeys. But we've already seen through COVID how the most powerful forces in modern society, big government, big business and big media, all operate in lockstep. Pardon the pun. Oh, I forgot to mention, Harari is born to Jewish parents. What if the Kremlin, just like the Simon Wiesenthal Center, was telling the truth? And a great silence followed. What if the Straussian Jews in the United States, the Ukrainian Jewish leader Ihor Kolomoisky, and his employee, the Jewish president Zelensky, were working with real Nazis? Is the great question. Because they are. Now, the Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett went to Moscow and received Chancellor Scholz in Tel Aviv, and then phoned the Ukrainian president, whose bad faith was evident to all, and presented as yet another attempt at peace. This trip was in fact intended only to find out whether or not the United States was relying on real Nazis. Now, confused by his findings, Bennett called Putin, whom he had left the day before, and he was also phoning various heads of NATO member states. Now, Bennett, the people are asking him to make it public what he has verified, but it appears that that will be unlikely. Why? Because he would have to open a forgotten file, that of the relations between certain Zionists and the Nazis, because they are one and the same. Or is Bennett and others just concerned of the general public finding out that fascists, Nazis and Zionists are all one and the same, as we went to some way proven in the From Russia With Love series? And the great question is, why then did David Ben-Gurion insist that Zev Jabotinsky, who was the founder of revisionist Zionism, was actually a fascist and possibly a Nazi? And says, who were the Jews who, before Hitler came to power, warmly welcomed an official delegation of the Nazi Party, the NSDAP, to Palestine while it was practicing pogroms in Germany? Oops. And who negotiated the 1933 transfer agreement, the so-called Havara agreement, and maintained an office in Berlin until 1939? And how did half-Jew Wolrath von Moltzan become the purveyor of Zyklon B gas to the death camps? So, a Jew sent gas to the death camps to kill Jews. And the author says so many questions that historians usually leave unanswered. Except there was no Zyklon B gas used. There was no pipelines were found, and no blue walls was ever discovered in the camps. Because Zyklon B stains all the walls bright blue. It stands out like a sore thumb. They were all white. And he said, today it is true, as many witnesses claim, that Professor Leo Strauss taught his Jewish students that they had to build their own dictatorship using the same methods as the Nazis to protect themselves from a new Shoah. And clearly Bennett did not buy into the Ukraine-NATO narrative, and that Putin has not suddenly lost the plot or suffering from mental illness, as the West have portrayed. Now, on the contrary, when asked about the support of the Jewish state, Zelensky replied, I have spoken to the Prime Minister of Israel, and I'll tell you frankly, and this may sound a bit insulting, but I think I have to say it, our relations are not bad. Not bad at all. I don't know what's insulting about that. But the whole idea is that Israel's going for peace is utter rubbish. They're going to Ukraine to tie up pipeline deals in the region of which they control. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, born two, said it's time for NATO allies to step up defence spending. It's also predictable in light of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, when in reality NATO created that situation for what you are asking for, which is payout time again for the warmongers. That's how it works. And speaking at a Ottawa conference, Stoltenberg praised Canada's contribution to the alliance's objectives to date, including military training and equipment, but noted all allies could do more. Yes, Mr. Turdo has been a good little puppet, is what that means. And it says, Canada is contributing in many ways to our collective defence and to our shared security. Shared security. And that Canada is the lead nation in the Baltic region with the battle group Operation Reassurance, he said. Don't think so. Your lot and ilk reassure no one. And then he said, all allies must step up and do even more. And Stoltenberg's appeal comes after the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, indicated on Monday that the Canadian government is to open enhanced military support, although he stopped short of any formal commitment. Now, the alliance has been agreed upon a target to spend 2% of GDP on defence to NATO per year, and Canada lags behind other members, spending an estimated $1.39. Or 1.39%, sorry. Perhaps that would be the better version. Just send them $1.39. So that's about the only value they have, really. Right, on we go. Apologies for that. Now, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the UK has already exceeded the 2% target, and Germany, having previously trailed behind, is committed to boost support above the target after Russia invaded Ukraine. Now, Trudeau had previously pledged to inject billions of dollars into Canada's military over the next 20 years. Funny that, isn't it? Yet none of them will inject billions of dollars into improving the lives of their own people. How can they just come up with military money? And given all the circumstances in Europe, it will be a key line item to watch in the upcoming federal budgets. And essentially, it's the shekel merry-go-round again. The medical fraternity have had their blood money, and now the war machine wants their cut. And that's how it all plays out. Now, we can and will eventually change those policies by bringing enough people together and applying pressure on them to think and act different. NATO is currently doing war drills as Biden travels to Europe to talk shit. This was in part sent in by one of the members, and again it connects more to the dots of what they're up to, and a good insight. Now, Linkoping is where Saab is, the car manufacturer, linked to the Nazis, remember, and is also BAE Systems. And what they're involved in currently is a satellite dispenser that can carry 32 satellites that are as big as a washing machine, and the dispenser will be produced in Linköping in Sweden. Now, this dispenser is said to be a long pipe of carbon fibres. What is that? Graphene. Which will then be sent up into space, and the satellites will be put into orbit or geostationary positions. And they're going to start off with internet satellites to contribute to the short-term goal of 100,000 satellites up there at the behest of Musk and Bill Gates for internet and surveillance. Now, Anna Rathsman is the general director of RIM Destrelsen, which is equal to the director general of the Swedish Space Agency. Now, the company they've set up is called Beyond Gravity, and its former name, RUAG Space, RUAG, was formerly RUAG Holding, which was an armaments industry and a joint stock defence company. But it's also a Swiss company, well, I never, specialising in aerospace engineering and the defence industry, even though Switzerland is neutral. Yeah, right. And is the CEO of Beyond Gravity, Andre Wall, said, "We are the first startup to combine agility, speed and innovation with decades of experience and proven quality." Now, looking into RUAG, they have an internal whistleblower platform. Why did he need one of those? Welcome to the Integrity Line platform, or so it seems. Recall, satellites are more AI sky gods. And perhaps the breakup of the word helps for greater understanding. Sat is Saturn, Satan or Satain. El means God and Ite means followers. Neutral Sweden, the author says, goes RUAG, or is that rogue? Oh, and I forgot to mention, the head of the space agency, Anna Rathsman, is born to Jewish parents. Funny that. You want to hear how the so-called privileged think about we the people, and how if you don't earn over $300,000 a year, you are essentially deemed inadequate, a slave, and not worthy of respect. In reality land, no one has the need to earn $300,000 plus a year. That is greed, pure and simple. because that then means many go without, whilst the few furnish their lavish and expensive lifestyles. And this thinking, based on their model of capitalism, materialism, and indeed socialism, when it really should be called anti-people, as it excludes many people of earning a reasonable amount just to exist. Now, this Bloomberg, born to, article headlined, "Inflation stings most if you earn less than $300,000. And they said, here's how to deal with it if you earn less than that. And it patronisingly tells Americans they should give up their cars and use public transport, except that there's hardly any public transport all over the country, because fares have only risen by 8% compared to 38% rise for gasoline. And the war in Ukraine and Putin is blamed for soaring inflation and food prices, except the fact that this was already happening for months beforehand under the Biden administration and was covered up by Biden and Psaki. Because inflation was up around 9% last year, remember? I think we did an article in January on that. And as we have found out, inflation is a secret taxing of the people. And then he said this, although your palate may not be used to it, tasty meat substitutes includes vegetables, where prices are up a little over 4%, or eat lentils and beans, which are up about 9%. And it's more efficient, healthier, and a cheaper way to get calories, according to the Bloomberg article. It's just staggering hypocrisy. Zero understanding, zero humanity exhibited in all its materialistic evil glory. And yet again, the Bloombergs, also born to Jewish parents and their ilk, are why the world is in this mess, due to their pure greed. Now, the beleaguered US government is collapsing under its own lies, that even some of the press are now getting onto them. But don't think for one second the press is doing it for the benefit of the people. It is 100% faction fighting. And fresh from Newland throwing the whole of the government and Psaki under the bus last week, we now find others not willing to cough up the truth or even recognise it. Because a number of ex-intelligence officials who reviewed Hunter Biden's laptop in the lead-up to the 2020 election and dismissed it as Russian disinformation have since declined to comment and apologise to the New York Post. But that initial evaluation of as many as 51 former intelligence officials has depreciated remarkably over the past 2 years, and after adamant assertions and requests for comments from the New York Post, all have been met with radio silence from those that claim to have been shown to be little more than unfounded opinions. And that's how the news works. Just make shit up. Now, the White House Secretary Psaki made it clear during Friday's briefing that she was not interested in fielding questions about Biden's son Hunter. And that's why she's done a runner. It's too many dodgy questions being asked now. And when you add in the lies about inflation caused by Russia, the lies about the increase in gas prices and Biden stating just 2 months ago that gas would be below $3. What it leaves is the stench of a bunch of lying and corrupt officials who literally don't have a clue which way to turn. They don't have a detailed, forward-thinking plan for anything, and also show zero respect for the people of this country. 14 billion dollars sent to Ukraine that will never go to the Ukrainian people, all of which means it is in effect high level money laundering. And if it is not, then please show us the evidence of where those funds went to. And all this while we have record numbers of homeless, record numbers of starving people or undernourished people, all within our own borders. Right, we're going to get into some medical related stuff, not all COVID this week. Let's see if we can pull back from some of that. But the Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, has revealed in a new op-ed published on Forbes that he and Jared Kushner, the snake-in-law, once had a heated debate over whether the US should receive its vaccine doses first. And he said he and Kushner disagreed over the supply time for an additional 100 million doses extra of the Pfizer jabs than what the Trump administration had ordered. An extra 100 million. What does that tell you? Now, Bourla wrote that the conflict arose because the US was topping up on its original order of 100 million doses of the vaccine, but that other countries had already signed contracts with Pfizer to secure their vaccine doses. Now, during the early days, Kushner was the head of the COVID-19 Shadow Task Force, and that a documentary later revealed consisted of young volunteers buying PPEs with personal email accounts. Oops. And yes, that was Kushner as well, given we put out that he blocked American companies supplying PPEs to Americans, whilst he and FEMA did a deal with China and India for PPEs, and he and they were going to sell the masks at $7 a piece. And Kushner, and indeed Trump, wanted extra doses in America to cause more issues here, which then makes it global news. Then they can scream, pandemic, pandemic. But remember, it was Trump and Kushner who delivered that to the American people. Now, Jared was asking for a very aggressive delivery plan for the US for the additional 100 million doses, and he wanted it all in the second quarter of 2021. And to do that, he would have had to take supplies from Canada, Japan and Latin American countries, all of which had placed their orders earlier than the US and were expecting the vaccines in the second quarter. And Bourla said that the debate between him and Kushner became heated when he refused. And that's not the first time I've heard Kushner getting heated. He was well trained by Kissinger, is why. Now, the Pfizer CEO said he reminded Jared, and it was made clear to Moncef Slowawi, the chief advisor of the Trump team's Operation Warp Speed, that Pfizer would not take doses from other countries to give them to the US, but Kushner wouldn't budge. Indeed. The question that arises from that is, Are the Q or QAnons or Republicans who still want Trump in 2024 oblivious to these facts? That he and the snake in law has cost many Americans their lives, lifestyles and livelihoods. It's beyond stupid. The CEO of one of Germany's largest health insurance companies was abruptly fired last month. He told the truth. Truth gets you fired these days. After he released data suggesting German health authorities are significantly underreporting COVID-19 vaccine injuries. And the data released by Andreas Schoffbeck of BKK Provita have since been scrubbed from the company's website. Oh, that seems to be the latest thing, just like the US State Department deleted all the Ukrainian US Israel biolabs last week. The very fact that they've deleted it tells you they're lying through the teeth. Truth never feared investigation. Ever. And so Schoffbeck, who noticed an unexpected jump in vaccine-related health insurance claims in February, noted the Paul Ehrlich Institute, which is the German equivalent of the CDC, that BKK billing data indicated that the PEI was underreporting adverse events to COVID vaccines. And in his letter to the PEI, Schoffbeck wrote, "If these figures are extrapolated to the whole year and to the population in Germany, the probability is 2.5 to 3 million people in Germany have received medical treatment for vaccination side effects after the corona vaccination." Oops. The great cover-up continues on their part. But the problem for them now is too many are reporting it. And that's why we have the Ukraine distraction event. We're going to go into some different medical stuff. I thought it would be interesting to cover this week. And it appears, which is a good thing, that the public are starting to wean off the so-called smartphones. Smart means to sting or burn, remember, not clever. And many are going back to what the BBC, who did this article, or short article, and called dumb phones. A classic case of doing the opposite they propose, as is almost always the best bet. And so the so-called dumb phones are continuing, it is said, to enjoy a revival, and searches for them jumped 89% between 2018 and 2021. And while sales figures are hard to come by, no surprise there, is one report said that global purchases of the non-smartphones were due to hit 1 billion units last year, which was up from 400 million in 2019. And this compares to a worldwide sale of 1.4 billion smartphones last year, following a 12.5% decline in 2020. Meanwhile, a 2021 study stated that 1 in 10 mobile phone users in the UK had a non-smartphone. And it's another sign the old ways of the old world are starting to come apart. Remember, as we go back to the news portion about this digital ID and digital currency, You can only get them on a smartphone. What are you going to do? Ban all non-smartphones? Make people pay $300 to $1,000 for a phone, which they can't afford? But with the smartphones, their ability, or with the dumb phones, I should say, their ability to profile and data mine is drastically reduced by the use of the simple phone and text version. Drastically reduced. How can he have a digital ID and all the other skullduggery which requires internet if you haven't got a smartphone? Something we should all ponder, myself included. I would never have got a smartphone. It was part of the job I had in Florida. I had no option. But maybe the next one, I'll just not need it. The other benefit is when using the internet with a phone is the deal for them. That's what they want you to do. And it is better for your health using desktops or laptops. And your eyesight, I might add. This was an interesting report on Alzheimer's. And research adds to evidence that healthier pre-industrial lifestyles may hold clues to preventing Alzheimer's and other dementias. As scientists around the world seek solutions, no they're not, for Alzheimer's disease, a new study reveals that two indigenous groups in Bolivia, in the Amazon, have amongst the lowest rates of dementia in the world. Because they don't take vaccines. And an international team of researchers found amongst older Tsimane and Mozaten people, only about 1% suffer from dementia. In contrast, 11% of people aged 65 and older living in the United States have dementia, including the ruddy president, according to the Alzheimer Association. And they said it's something about the pre-industrial subsistence lifestyle appears to protect older Tsimane and Mozaten from dementia, and that is according to Margaret Gatz, who's a lead study author and professor of psychology, gerontology and preventative. And researchers use computed tomography brain scan images, cognitive and neurological assessments and culturally appropriate questions, which was facilitated by a local team of trained translators and Bolivian physicians to diagnose dementia and cognitive impairment amongst the Tsimane and Mozaten peoples. Now, the study was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Association and found only 5 cases of dementia amongst the 435 Tsimane people and just 1 case amongst 169 Mozaten people aged 60 or over. So just 6 out of roughly 604. In the same groups of over 60s, the research team diagnosed about 8% of Tsimane and 10% of Mozaten with mild cognitive impairment, which is typically marked by early stage memory loss or decline of other cognitive ability, such as language or spatial perception. And the study's authors pointed out these rates are more comparable to MCI in high-income countries like the US. And researchers were said to be surprised to find that the study participants found to have dementia or MCI frequently had unusual and prominent calcifications of their intracranial arteries. The brain was calcified. And these study participants frequently displayed Parkinson's symptoms during neurological examinations and cognitive deficits in attention, spatial awareness, and executive functioning. Now, although calcifications were more common amongst the cognitively impaired, researchers also observed these vascular calcifications in the CT scans of those without dementia or MCI. And they say more research is needed to understand the role of vascular factors as well as infectious and inflammatory disorders, which are highly prevalent in these populations, along with other risks for dementia. And so to this end, the research team is currently returning to all the Tsamani and Mosetan villages to revisit those who were previously assessed in the previous study, and comparing dementia rates amongst the Tsamani and Mosetan and other indigenous peoples. Now, the roughly 17,000 Tsamani remain physically active throughout their lifespans, which is the key, as they fish, hunt and farm with hand tools and gather food from the forest. And the 3,000 Mosetan also reside in rural villages and engage in subsistence agricultural work. And unlike the more isolated Tsamani, they live closer to towns and have schools, access to clean water and medical services, and are more likely to be literate, it is said. And so they did a systematic review of 15 studies of the indigenous populations in Australia, North America, Guam and Brazil. And the earlier review found dementia prevalence ranging from half of 1% to 20% amongst indigenous older adults. And the very fact that indigenous populations in other parts of the world have high rates of dementia may be due to higher amounts of contact with and adoption of lifestyles of their non-indigenous neighbours. Now, they also face a greater risk of diabetes, hypertension, alcohol abuse, which is a big, big problem in indigenous cultures, obesity and cardiovascular disease. And these dementia risk factors are extremely low amongst both of their populations. Now, what has also been found out and showed is that the Tsamani people have extraordinarily healthy hearts in older age, which is not replicated in the Western world, as we know. And the lowest prevalence of coronary atherosclerosis, which is a disease that shows in the form of fatty deposits inside arteries of any population known to science. The lowest. And they're linking it to their subsistence lifestyle. They also found that the Tsamani experience less brain atrophy than their American and European peers. And the researchers say, in contrast to the Tsamani, lifestyle factors in higher income countries, including lack of physical activity and diet rich in sugars and fats, contribute to heart disease and may also accelerate brain aging. Now, these diseases, in my opinion, whilst they have several external factors we can point to, my focus is our internal factors or lack thereof. And the word convenience comes to mind again here. The propensity for convenience-based lifestyles leads to being less active, brain or muscles. And it's a case if you don't use it, you lose it. And another factor, or a leading factor in my opinion, is that they prepare their own food, which makes the food better. They have to hunt, forage, grow and gather for themselves. So no trips in the car to the supermarket for them. And so they are constantly using their life force in terms of sustaining their life force. And hence they have less issues than the convenience-based Western model. Now, aging is the most important known risk factor for Alzheimer's and other dementias, according to the researchers. The answer is, no, it's not. It is a convenience lifestyle and aluminum contents in vaccines that creates those diseases. The aluminum in the brain causes Alzheimer's and dementia. I know, as it happened to my own father after he had the flu jab. Yes, it's got aluminum in, which damages the brain. Now, they say converging evidence points to low formal education, midlife hypertension and diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, physical inactivity, and most recently, air pollution, as the major modifiable risk factors for dementia and Alzheimer. Well, most Western children go to school. And so if they are saying low formal education, then essentially they are agreeing with us that education is utter rubbish. That's what that reveals. But an aging global population, along with the proliferation of those modifiable risk factors, will lead, they say, to a tripling of the number of people with dementia worldwide by 2050 to more than 152 million, according to estimates. And they say we're in a race for solutions. No, you're not. To the growing prevalence of Alzheimer's disease and related dementias, according to Hillard Kaplan, who has studied the Tsimani for the past two decades. And she said, looking at these diverse populations augments and accelerates our understanding of these diseases and generates new insights. And working with populations like the Tsimani and Mosetan, we can get a better understanding of global human variation and what human health was like in different environments before industrialization, according to Benjamin Trumbull, who is an associate professor at evolution and medicine at Arizona State University. And he said, what we do know is the sedentary urban industrial life is quite novel when compared with how our ancestors lived for more than 99% of humanity's existence. Interesting stuff. Well, better than talking about COVID anyway. But all these studies all around the world, and they missed the captain obvious, because there's not a single mention of medicine or medical being a causal factor. And therein lies the problem of people pointing fingers away for blame and not looking within. You are never going to find the truth or solutions doing that on any level. New research has found a correlation between even modest levels of alcohol consumption and reduced brain size. I can hear some people gulping already. Oh no, he's going to ruin alcohol now. Indeed. Now, led by the University of Pennsylvania, what state's that in? The study of more than 36,000 adults associated reduced grey and white matter in the brain to drinking even a few beers or glasses of wine a week. And the research shows for 50-year-olds going from one alcohol unit or about half a beer a day to two units, such as a pint of beer or a glass of wine, was the equivalent of aging 2 years. Meanwhile, going from two to three alcohol units at the same age was similar to aging 3.5 years, and the researchers say the findings contrast with the guidelines on safe drinking limits, including recommendations that women consume no more than one drink per day on average, or double that for men. Now, the people who can benefit the most from drinking less are said are the very people who are already drinking the most, according to Gideon Knave, who is a corresponding author on the study at Penn Wharton School. Now, the study's authors say past research has examined the link between drinking and brain health, including reported reductions in grey and white matter, all of which brings in Alzheimer and dementia. Now, other studies have also suggested moderate alcohol consumption may not have an impact on the brain, or that light drinking could benefit older adults. But the researchers, however, say those earlier investigations lacked large data sets. Because they wanted you to be sick is why. And the latest research used biomedical data from the UK Biobank. Listen closely to the next line, which contains genetic and medical information from 500,000 middle-aged and older British adults. Data mining. And the team also controlled for age, height, handedness, sex, smoking status, socioeconomic status, genetic ancestry, and the county of residence as part of the overall data analysis. And volunteer participants in the biobank responded to survey questions about their alcohol consumption, ranging from abstention to an average of four or more alcohol units per day. And the researchers found that while going from zero to one unit didn't have much of an impact on brain volume and the equivalent of aging half a year, but going from one to two or two to three drinks resulted in greater aging effects. But going from zero to four drinks per day on average, for example, was the equivalent of aging more than 10 years. Oops. Now, the study looked at average consumption, and they were curious whether drinking one beer a day is better than drinking none during the week and then seven on the weekend. And there is some evidence that binge drinking is worse for the brain, but they said we haven't looked closely at that yet. I wonder why. And the researchers say long longitudinal studies following young people as they age may help determine causation rather than correlation. And there you have it. And now you know why the fake gods introduced it to the native populace. A lot of it was the tribal people back then, and not one of the tribal people can handle alcohol at all. It's a big, big problem. It's a witness to here in this country bad enough. And so, why would they do that? Well, the answer is simple. It's a reduction in terms of years, aging, increased memory loss. The impact on the liver and the kidneys is rarely revealed, but is no less damaging. And drinking is far more damaging to society for many, many reasons. And yet, they all but banned smoking, when alcohol causes way more damage on way more levels. That tells you it's a program. And that is before we get into the levels never discussed about alcohol causing host possession. There's a reason they call it spirits. And in reality, whilst the gods search for the elixir to extend life, they gave us alcohol to shorten ours. That's what unfolded. No, I'm not against the occasional beer. Personally, my last beer was almost 12 months ago. But like everything else, there must be moderation. A couple of stories on Ukraine before we get into an expose. This was sent in by one of the members, and it's another of their potential scenarios. Doesn't mean to say it will happen, but this is the type of planning that they've been doing behind the new narrative of Ukraine, where it said after June 30th, 2022, the Council of Europe has changed Resolution 2361, and now all EU countries can start with mandatory vaccinations, it said. From July 1st, 2022, the Council of Europe will announce the rules regarding the mandatory QR certificates, which essentially will take all of your freedoms away. Of course, you can't do QR certificates on so-called dumb phones. So that's how you stall it. And basically, if you haven't been validated as a good citizen, for example, you have not been taking all your injections, essentially you can lose all of your rights. And Big Pharma and the EU has already accessed to your body via a patent from March 28th, 2021. And the QR code cash machines already tested or have already been tested in France and Belgium, which will be for the benefit of the good citizens. All of which could lead by the end of 2022 to a digital currency, again for the good citizens. And he said we will have a CO2 climate protection quota that has been proposed in the Netherlands, again for every good citizen in the EU, and if you use too much energy, your car can be blocked for a week. Like I said, that's what they can plan. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, and we can prevent it. I think the first thing is, perhaps we all need to ditch the smartphones. No QR codes, no digital, and all that shit. Now, the Russian aviation in the Mariupol area did absolutely no missions on the ground. And the photographic images from the hospital leave no doubt the airstrike, as they said, is a complete orchestrated provocation. Now, what the media will not tell you is that hospital was converted into a stronghold of the Azov battalion in February. And this has been massively reported by the residents of the city and high explosion aviation ammunition, even of a lower power, simply would not have left anything from the outer walls of the building. And it says as the ring shrinks, the number of Nazi provocations will increase. They have nowhere else to run, which is why there'll be an increase in false flags. But again, here's the captain, obvious question the media, or indeed too few, are asking of what's going on in Ukraine. You know, given we've had practically 2 years now of the global scaremongering, social distancing and lockdowns, and a global catastrophe called COVID. And yeah, has anyone asked the migrating Ukrainians, have they been jabbed before entering Poland or another country? How can they just push them through the border when we all have to have certificates and QR codes to travel from one place to another? It's funny that, isn't it? Or are the Ukrainians immune like the Sarmatians? But if it's okay for Ukrainians to travel without jabs, how and why are the rest of us still under those restrictions? Question. Now, the Western media poured on the sympathy angle right across the board in the past week. Oh, the poor dead children and the nasty Russians on the Mariupol airstrike. Except it was all a lie. Now, no one wants to see children or anyone else dying. But where were the media about the poor kids in Vietnam, Cambodia, Congo, Syria, Palestine, Afghanistan, Yugoslavia, Armenia, Lebanon, and many others? Done in far greater numbers by the US military and NATO. Where was the outpouring of grief then? Or even in Indonesia, mass deaths there over the past 5 years. But testimony that was being given by evacuated residents of Mariupol had warnings of a false flag attack before it took place, which undermines the Ukrainian government's claims about a Russian bombing of a local theatre that was sheltering civilians. Of course, the Western media reported that Russia's military deliberately attacked the Donetsk Academic Regional Drama Theatre in Ukraine, claiming it was filled with civilians and marked with signs reading "children on its grounds." Really? And this supposed bombing took place just as the Ukrainian clown President Zelensky appealed to the US Congress for a no-fly zone, fueling the chorus for direct military confrontation with Russia and apparently inspiring Joe Biden to brand Putin a war criminal, an American saying to another country president or prime minister, a war criminal. Oh dear. But a closer look at the facts reveals that local residents in Mariupol had warned 3 days before the March 16 incident that the theatre would be the site of a false flag attack launched by the openly neo-Nazi Azov battalion, which had controlled the building and the territory around it. Oops. These are the same Nazis that the Israelis are backing, I might add, proving the Nazis were by and large not German. Now, as civilians that escaped the city through humanitarian corridors have all testified that they were held by Azov as human shields in that area, and that Azov fighters detonated parts of the theatre as they retreated. They blew it up. The Ukrainians blew it up. And yet, despite claims of massive Russian airstrikes that reduced the building to ashes, all civilians appeared to have escaped with their lives, which is good to hear. Now, the video of the attack on the theatre remains unavailable. Well, I never. And only photographs of the damaged structure can be viewed. Well, was it in Ukraine? Or was it in Lebanon? Because they're using pictures out of Lebanon and saying it's Ukraine. But the fact is, no video of the attack is all a bit like Sandy Hook, isn't it? Again, no evidence was ever photographically produced for that event either. Now, the Russian Ministry of Defense denied conducting an airstrike on the theatre, asserting that the site had no military value and that no sorties were flown in the area on March 16th. I did say on January 1st, a review for 2022, we would see war with Russia or Iran, a monetary crisis, and the end of the COVID narrative, and an increase in distraction-based false flags, of which this was one of them. And that has all with this story pretty much unfolded before the end of March. And what that reveals is their sign of desperation. What has all been revealed to date, tonight, is their desperation. Their propensity to lie literally about everything now, because it's all fallen apart. And it's something that has to happen, so then we can rebuild in a better way. It's not something that needs to be feared. We'll cover more of that later. This just one expose this week. I pondered long and hard whether to include it or put something else in. But it kind of plays in with the COVID in many ways, of how it led to the current COVID. And it's often stated that biological warfare is a more modern day event. But last week we mentioned Unit 731. And we will cover them and their antics in this piece with a political summary aspect only next week as a part two. But I do warn you, it will not be pleasant. And this is only done to reveal the levels of pure sadistic evil some of these regimes have gone to, how biowarfare has a long past, how the Americans reacted to it, and to show just how evil, devious and hideous some entities can be. You have to reach into the depth of the cesspit barrel to then understand the very depth of it, and then be able to see and understand things more clearly. Now, the public perception of that barrel of evil is far too near the rim. And so events like these and others are then not comprehensible. They'll just get dismissed. But this is what led us to the medical tyranny that we've faced the past 2 years. And people will say the government or the medical people would never lie to us. This piece will shatter that illusion on a massive scale. So Unit 731 for short, for Manchu Detachment 731, and also known as the Camo Detachment 198 and the Ishai Unit. And it was a covert biological and chemical warfare research and development unit of the Imperial Japanese Army that engaged in lethal human experimentation during the Second Sino-Japanese War, 1937 through 45, and also World War II. And it was responsible for some of the most notorious war crimes committed by the armed forces of Imperial Japan. Now, Unit 731 was based in the Pingfang district of Harbin, which is the largest city in the Japanese puppet state of Manchukuo, which is now northeast China. And it had active branch offices throughout China and also Southeast Asia. And it was officially known as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department of the Kwantung Army. And originally set up by the Kenpachi Military Police of the Empire of Japan, Unit 731 was taken over and commanded until the end of the war by General Shiro Ishii, who was a combat medic officer in the Kwantung Army. It should be noted at this point the medical aspects and their links to the military, because that way you can understand how the COVID scam works or worked. It's all the same pattern. Now, the facility itself was built in 1935 as a replacement for the Zhongma Fortress, and Ishii and his team used it to expand their capabilities. And the program received generous support from the Japanese government up until the end of the war in 1945. Now, Unit 731 and the other units of the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department operated biological weapon production, testing, deployment and storage facilities. Now, the epidemic prevention is a gross misnomer in and of itself, just like the biological threat reduction. facilities that the US and Israel have in Ukraine. Biological threat reduction. No, it's an increase. Everything's backwards, everything's upside down. Now, Unit 731 routinely conducted tests on human beings who were internally referred to as logs, L-O-G-S, like a tree. And additionally, biological weapons were tested in the field on cities and towns in China, and estimates of those killed by the Unit 731 and its related programs range up to 500,000 people. Half a million people. Biological warfare, 1930s, early 1940s. Now, while the unit researchers were arrested by Soviet forces, the Russians, and were tried at the December 1949 Khabarovsk war crime trials, those captured by the United States were secretly given immunity in exchange for the data gathered during their human experiments. The Americans co-opted the researchers' bioweapons information and experience for use in their own biological warfare program, much as they had done with the German researchers in Operation Paperclip. All whilst Chinese accounts of what were taking place were largely dismissed as communist propaganda. The Americans gave them immunity. How all too familiar that is. And yet again, it was the Russians who stopped them. Just like in Ukraine. His story always repeats, it seems. But in 1932, Surgeon General Shiro Ishii, a chief medical officer of the Japanese Army and protege of Army Minister Sadao Araki, was placed in command of the Army Epidemic Prevention Research Laboratory. And Ishii organized a secret research group called the Togo Unit, for chemical and biological experimentation in Manchuria. Maybe that is the real origin of the term Manchurian Candidate. Now, Ishii had proposed the creation of a Japanese biological and chemical research unit in 1930 after a two-year study trip abroad, on the grounds that Western powers were developing their own programs. And one of Ishii's main supporters inside the army was Colonel Chikahiko Koizumi, who later served as Japan's health minister. The health minister who does torture and human experimentation from 1941 to 1945. Your life in their hands. We're told to trust medical people. Not after this and COVID, we won't. Now, Koizumi had joined a secret poison gas research committee in 1915 during World War One, when he and other Imperial Japanese Army officers were impressed by the successful German use of chlorine gas at the Second Battle of Ypres, in which the Allies suffered 5,000 deaths and 15,000 wounded as a result of the chemical attack. Impressive. I mean, what is so impressive about poisoning people? The answer is none, because that is the warfare of complete and utter cowards. biological warfare is the warfare of total cowards. Period. Now, Unit Togo was set in motion in the Zongma Fortress, which is a prison experimentation camp in Biainini, which is a village 62 miles south of Harbin on the South Manchurian Railway. And prisoners initially were generally well fed on a diet of rice or wheat, meat, fish, and occasionally even alcohol in order to be in normal health at the beginning of the experiments. And then over several days, prisoners were eventually drained of blood and deprived of nutrients and water. And their deteriorating health was recorded, that some were vivisected, others were deliberately infected with plague bacteria and other microbes. Now, a prison break in the autumn of 1934, which jeopardizes the facility's secrecy, and an explosion in 1935, believed to be sabotage, led Ishii to shut down Zongma Fortress. But then he received authorization to move to Pingfang, approximately 15 miles south of Harbin, and set up a new, much larger facility. In 1936, Emperor Hirohito issued a decree authorizing the expansion of the unit and its integration into the Kwantung Army as the Epidemic Prevention Department. And it was divided at that time into the Ishii unit and the Wakamatsu unit with a base in Helsinki. Yes, everyone was sinking. And from August 1940 on, the units were known collectively as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department of the Kwantung Army. And in addition to the establishment of the Unit 731, the decree also called for the creation of an additional biological warfare development unit called the Kwantung Army Military Horse Epidemic Prevention Workshop. Really. Which was later referred to as Manchuria Unit 100, and a chemical warfare development unit called the Kwantung Army Technical Testing Department, which was later referred to as the Manchuria Unit 516. Manchuria Unit for Manchurian Candidates. But after the Japanese invasion of China in 1937, sister chemical and biological warfare units were founded in major Chinese cities and were referred to as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Supply Units. And those detachments included Unit 1855 in Beijing, Unit EI 1644 in Nanjing, Unit 8604 in Guangzhou, and later Unit 9420 in Singapore. All Japanese biological units on Chinese soil. And all of these units comprise of Ishii's network, which at its height in 1939 oversaw 10,000 personnel. And medical doctors and professors from Japan were attracted to join Unit 731, both by the rare opportunity to conduct human experimentation and the Army's strong financial backing, which tells you all you need to know about medical people. All about the shekels. And history repeated in modern day. Medical and war machines making money on fake excuses, and far too many believe that the health industry has our best interests. But COVID, the CDC, NIH, Fauci and the DOD have shattered that illusion, or should have. Now, a special project called Codename Maruta used human beings for experiments. You may want to get the MeWe GIFs ready. I'm going to warn you. And test subjects were gathered from the surrounding population and sometimes euphemistically referred to as logs or Maruta, which is used in such context as how many logs fell. And this term originated as a joke on the part of the staff, because the official cover story for the facility given to local authorities was that it was a lumber mill. Oh, how hilariously amusing for them. These people have zero humanity. None. And in a further parallel, the corpses of sacrificed subjects were disposed of by incineration. And the researchers in Unit 731 also published some of their results in peer-reviewed journals, writing as though the research had been conducted on non-human primates called Manchurian monkeys or long-tailed monkeys. Now, the test subjects were selected to gather a wide cross-section of the population and included common criminals, captured bandits, anti-Japanese partisans, political prisoners, homeless and the mentally disabled people, as well as those rounded up by the Ken Petai military police for alleged suspicious activities. And they included infants, men, the elderly and pregnant women. All of which sounds like the CIA, that to me. Now, Unit 731 staff included approximately 300 researchers, including doctors and bacteriologists. Many had been desensitized to performing cruel experiments from experience in animal research. And Nakagawa Yonezo, who is the professor at Osaka University and studied at Kyoto University during the war, while he was there, he watched footage of human experiments and executions from Unit 731. And he later testified about, quote, the playfulness of the experimenters, unquote. And he said some of the experiments had nothing to do with advancing the capability of germ warfare or of medicine. He said, but there is such a thing as professional curiosity. It should have killed the cat, and perhaps it would have been better killing these people as well. And he said, they started coming up with what would happen if we did such and such. And he said, what medical purpose was served by performing and studying beheadings? None at all, he said. That was just playing around. Professional people too like to play, he said. And that is playing? No, that is the dance with the more evil levels of the darkness. Period. Prisoners were injected with diseases disguised as vaccinations. Well, I never. Does that sound familiar? Allegedly to study their effects. To study the effects of untreated venereal diseases. Male and female prisoners were deliberately infected with syphilis and gonorrhea and then studied. Sounds like the indigenous people in the schools in Canada, that to me. This is where it all starts. And prisoners were also repeatedly subject to rape by the gods. And thousands of men, women and children and infants interned at prisoner of war camps were subjected to vivisection, often performed without anesthesia and usually lethal. In a video interview, former Unit 731 member Okawara Fuck You Matsu, yes, that's what it says, Fuck You Matsu, well, you can go and fuck you as well, Mr. Matsu, admitted to having vivisected a pregnant woman, and they were performed on prisoners after infecting them with various diseases. And researchers performed invasive surgery on prisoners, removing organs to study the effects of disease on the human body. Prisoners had limbs amputated in order to study blood loss. Limbs were removed, or limbs that were removed were sometimes reattached to the opposite side of the victim's body. Some prisoners had their stomachs surgically removed and their esophagus reattached to the intestines. Parts of organs, such as the brain, lungs and liver, were removed from others. Now, the Japanese Army surgeon Ken Yuasa suggests that practicing vivisection on human subjects was widespread even outside of Unit 731. And estimating that at least 1,000 Japanese personnel were involved in the practice on mainland China. Now you know why the Chinese don't like them. And Unit 731 and its affiliated units 1644 and 100, among others, were involved in research, development and experimental deployment of epidemic-creating biowarfare weapons in assaults against the Chinese populace, both military and civilian, throughout World War II. Plague-infected fleas bred in the laboratories of Unit 731 and 1644 were spread by low-flying airplanes over Chinese cities, including coastal Ningbo and Changde, Hunan province in 1940 and 1941. Those operations killed tens of thousands of Chinese with bubonic plague epidemics. Now, an expedition to Nanjing involved spreading typhoid and paratyphoid germs into the wells, marshes and houses of the city, as well as infusing them in snacks, which was distributed to the locals. And epidemics broke out shortly after, to the elation of many researchers who concluded that paratyphoid fever was the most effective of the pathogens. Now, at least 12 large-scale bioweapon field trials were carried out and at least 11 Chinese cities attacked with biological agents. An attack on Changde in 1941 reportedly led to approximately 10,000 biological casualties and 1,700 deaths amongst ill-prepared Japanese troops, in most cases due to cholera. And the Japanese researchers performed tests on prisoners with bubonic plague, cholera, smallpox, botulism and other diseases. And this research led to the development of the defoliation bacilli bomb and the flea bomb used to spread bubonic plague. And these bombs enabled Japanese soldiers to launch biological attacks, infecting agriculture, reservoirs, wells, as well as other areas with anthrax and plague-carrying fleas, typhoid, dysentery, cholera, and other deadly pathogens. Now, during biological bomb experiments, researchers dressed in protective suits would examine the dying victims. Infected food supplies and clothing were dropped by aeroplane into areas of China that was not occupied by the Japanese forces, and also poisoned food and candy were given to unsuspecting victims. Now, during the final months of World War II, Japan planned to use a plague as a biological weapon against San Diego, California. And the plan was scheduled to launch on September the 22nd, 1945, but Japan surrendered 5 weeks earlier. Plague fleas, infected clothing, and infected supplies encased in bombs were dropped on various targets, and the resulting cholera, anthrax, and plague were estimated to have killed at least 400,000 Chinese civilians. And due to pressure from numerous accounts of the biowarfare attacks, Chiang Kai-shek sent a delegation of army and foreign medical personnel in November of 1941 to document evidence and treat the afflicted. Except Chiang Kai-shek was the leader of the infamous Kuomintang, who are and were not much better than the Japanese version. And a report on the Japanese use of plague-infected fleas on Changde was made widely available the following year, but was not addressed by the Allied powers until Franklin D. Roosevelt issued a public warning in 1943 condemning the attacks. What happened to the previous 4 or 8 years? And human targets were used to test grenades, positioned at various distances and in various positions. Flamethrowers were tested on people. Of course, they were later used by the US and Vietnam. This is where the ideas come from. Victims were also tied to stakes and used as targets to test pathogen-releasing bombs, chemical weapons, shrapnel bombs with variant amounts of fragments, and explosive bombs, as well as bayonets and knives, all to determine the best course of treatment for varying degrees of shrapnel wounds sustained on the field by the Japanese soldiers. And Chinese prisoners were exposed to direct bomb blasts. They were strapped unprotected to wooden planks that were staked into the ground at increasing distances around a bomb that was then detonated. It was surgery for most, autopsies for the rest. It's a bit like the American military in Nevada, putting all the soldiers at various distances from the nuclear blast. In other tests, subjects were deprived of food and water to determine the length of time until death, placed into low-pressure chambers until their eyes popped from the sockets, experimented upon to determine the relationship between temperature, burns, and human survival. They were pumped full of horse blood, hung upside down until death, crushed with heavy objects, electrocuted, dehydrated with hot fans, placed into centrifuges, and spun until death. Injected with animal blood, exposed to lethal doses of X-rays, subjected to various chemical weapons inside gas chambers, injected with seawater, and burned or buried alive. In addition to chemical agents, the properties of many different toxins were also investigated by the unit to name a few, prisoners were exposed to tetrodotoxin, pufferfish or fugu venom, heroin, Korean bindweed, Bactal and castor oil seeds, ricin. Massive amounts of blood were drained from some prisoners in order to study the effects of blood loss, according to the former Unit 731 Okawa Fukumatsu. And in one case, at least half a litre of blood was drawn at 2 to 3 day intervals. They also performed transfusion experiments with different blood types. And one unit member, Neo Ikeda, wrote, "In my experience, when A-type blood, 100cc, was transferred to an O-type subject, whose pulse was 87 per minute and temperature was 35.4 degrees, 30 minutes later, the temperature rose to 38.6 degrees, with slight trepidation. 60 minutes later, the pulse was 106 a minute, and temperature was 39.4 centigrade. 2 hours later, the temperature was 37.7, and 3 hours later, the subject recovered. And when AB-type blood, 120cc, was transfused into an O-type subject, an hour later, the subject described malaise and chills, deep freeze chills in both legs. When AB type blood, 100cc, was transfused to a B type subject, there seemed to be no side effects. Now, the O plus type is the most common blood, of 42% of the global population, and is also the preferred type as a donor. Now, some of the tests have been described as psychopathically sadistic, with no conceivable military application. And that is exactly what it is. Psychopathic, sadistic, and pure evil. Done by hospital people. And we're trusting them. Like I said all along, the hospitals and the clinics work against us by and large. That's not denigrating all the staff, as they're oblivious to what's going on at the top end, but this is what the top end are involved in. Even the staff at the CDC found out that they were putting HIV into the vaccines and all kinds of people are getting it or dying. It's all coming to light. And this is another thing that is brought into the light to process and heal. And it also serves the purpose for people to really understand the evil that has pervaded this planet and the dark energy it creates. But with the light shone upon it, that energy begins to dissipate and then shift more towards the light. And it also shows further evidence of the top elements of the American establishment are supporting and also active in these heinous crimes. And perhaps Russia and China are not as bad as portrayed or being made out. Perhaps the problem is always closer to home. But the great question is, why hasn't Japan been declared a pariah nation like Germany was and is? Because, to be quite frank, the German event, as bad as that was, absolutely pales into comparison with this lot. And yet Japan is considered an ally. Barely mentioned about their crimes against humanity. Says it all, really. An interesting thing popped up this week, all of which confirms all of our show again. As Coca-Cola products are now writing messages on their cans for the divide and conquer bots to follow. And they also revealed a program that they are following to boot. Because on the can, it now says, try to be less white. Which is an out-and-out racist statement. But it is in line with the anti-white program being ran by the Hyksos Jews. Let's not forget that. It's all in your face now. But did you ever think that the firmament, terra firma, a business, farmers, kings, slaves and taxes would all be connected? Well, you will after this piece. Firmament, mid-13th century, the old French firmament, or directly from Latin, firmamentum. Literally a support, a strengthening from firmus, strong, steadfast, enduring. And from the Pi root, deher, D-H-E-R, to hold firmly or support. Used in late Latin in the Vulgate to translate Greek stereoma, firm or solid structure. But supporting what? Or for what? Or what is it supporting is the big questions. And when translated via Hebrew, rakia, a word used of both the vault of the sky and the floor of the earth in the Old Testament. Probably literally expanse from raka, to spread out, but in Syriac, meaning to make firm or solid. Terra firma is related to earth, or so we thought. Because back in the 1600s, terra firma meant part of the Italian mainland ruled by Venice. Oops. From modern Latin, terra firma, literally firm land. From the Latin, terra earth, land. From the Pi root, ters, T-E-R-S, to dry, plus firma. Firmus, strong, steadfast, from the suffix form of Pi root, deher, again, to hold firmly or support. Also meaning the land as distinct from the sea. The Holy Sea. 1690s. Just after the CKV Trust Act. Hakluyt and Sandys also used the English firm to mean the firm land, the mainland, terra firma. But firm also means a business house from 1744, according to Barnhart from German firma, a business. The name of a business, originally signature, from the Italian firma signature, from firmare, which means to sign. From Latin firmare, make firm, affirm, in late Latin, confirm by signature. From firmus, strong, stable, figuratively constant, trusty. In essence, this reveals that your firm, which you thought was firmly strong and stable, was confirmed by signature over to the control of others. Farmer. Late 14th century. the one who collects taxes. Oops. A farmer was the one who collects taxes. From Anglo-French fermer, from Old French fermier, lease holder. From medieval Latin fermerarius, from fermer, fixed payment. The farmer collects the taxes. Why? Because the farmer is a harvester. This is how these people think. And fixed payment is the taxes. Taxes collected by the farmers from the cattle. Are you connecting the dots now? Now, farm in the agricultural sense, 1590s, replacing the native churl, C-H-U-R-L, and husbandman. Now, churl, the meaning of that, the old English word seol, C-E-O-R-L, in which the C was pronounced ch, as in the modern English churl, was designated a freeman of the lowest class. One who had a social position above a slave, but below a thane, T-H-A-N-E. Now, seol comes from, or cheol, comes from the Germanic Carolas, whose basic meaning is old man. One of our members' ears are going to prick up a lot shortly. In Finnish, which is not a Germanic language, the Germanic word was borrowed and survives almost unchanged as Karolas, old man. The Old Norse descendant of the Germanic word. The Germanic word also entered Old French as Charles, from which we have the name Charles. And the medieval Latin form Carolus is based on the Old High German Karel, with a K. And the fame of Carolus Magnus, Charles the Great or Charlemania. And so the revered Charlemanias just meant Charles the Great. And the idolatry worship of the one man again. Did that ever work? No. And this added luster to the name Carolus, and the Slavic languages later borrowed the name as their general word for king was Karol, with a K, in Russian. And so despite the gulf between a king and a churl, the Russian Karol and the Old English churl are related. Churl meant a peasant, a miserly person, and the word niggard was used, which meant the same. Possibly that was the origin of the N-word at a later date. Now, we all know now of how and why they changed the meaning of words, the origin, the purpose, the intention, as well as the phonetics of the word. The pi root de er mentioned earlier brings this up. De er, Proto-Indo-European root. No, it's not Indo-European at all. Meaning to hold firmly, support. And it forms all or part of. Affirm, confirm, Darius, de arme, farm, fermata, firm the adjective, firm the noun, firmament, firl, infirm, infirmary, terra firma, and throne. All from the one word. Infirm and infirmary means we, the lowest classes, are too infirm to rule, and we should be ruled from the throne by a king, is what that is saying. and it is the hypothetical source of or evidence of, for its existence is provided by Sanskrit dharma, dharmah, meaning custom, statute or law. Dharayati holds, prakrit dharana, a holding firm, Iranian dara, holding, of which they define themselves as the holders. Going back to the farms again. The Greek thronos means seat, which is the seat of the power over us, and the farmers are them, labelled as kings, to collect the harvest or the taxes. Latin, famous, strong, steadfast, enduring, stable. Lithuanian, desnas, means strong. Welsh, dir, means hard. Breton, dir, means steel. And the firm is also a nickname of the mafia as well, another group of quote-unquote farmers who harvested everything via criminality. Well, farm, the sense of tract, of leased land, is first recorded early 14th century. Leased, not owned, is significant. That of cultivated land, leased or not, is from the 1520s. Cultivated and cultivate originally were not the same purpose or linked by meaning. Cultivated, 1660s, meant originally of persons cultured, refined and educated. And the farming terms in relation to land was added in 1790. Cultivate means to till or prepare crops, except by their descriptions, it was not to be done by the so-called cultivated. Now, figurative sense of improve by labour or study, devote one's attention to, is from 1680s, meaning court the acquaintance of someone is by 1707. Court of law acquaintance, bound by their laws by being courted. Cult and ivate. Ivate used with a stem to form the second person plural imperfect of regular I verbs. Ivate, the cult, with a second hidden person, of which comes invasion, invade, and private. Private now, of course, means exclusive. And a word of confused history, but there's an agreement that the purely agricultural sense is comparatively modern. And there is a set of old English words that appear to be related in sound and sense. If these two are from Latin, it would be a very early borrowing. And some books strenuously defend the theory that the Anglo-Saxon words are originally perhaps related to feor, F-E-O-R-H, meaning life. Except the Saxons we now know are related to the Pleiadian Nibiru cult, and they were not interested in our life. Now, the phrase by the farm means to die in battle. Going by the farm means to go and die. And that is at least from World War II, and is perhaps a cynical reference to the draftee's dream of getting out of the war and going home, in many cases to the peaceful farmstead. So the farmers were the harvesters, and they became the harvested. The simple term, buy it, is slang for suffer a mishap, especially to die, is attested by 1825, and seems to have been picked up in airman's jargon, an advertiser's dream telling us to buy it, which essentially means go and die. How nice of them. Reversed simply by, I do not consent. Meanwhile, fetch the farm is prisoner slang from at least 1879 for getting sent to the infirmary with reference to the better diet and lighter duties there. Infirmary. Not the Japanese type? No, we'll get that amiss, thank you. It's all in the words once you study and see them. And so there we have it. Firmament, terra firma, a business, farmers, kings, slaves, and taxes. All from the one root. In the cosmic genetic shows, of which there is another in the pipeline, in fact, there's another two, shows it revealed many connections, which now makes things easier to determine who is or was who. But upon pondering the other day, it mentioned about the Drax in Rome and how they tried to use the Greek gods model and subsequently made them all saints. Apollo, Artemis, Gemini, and Mercury. Sound familiar? All names used by NASA and Wernher von Braun. Now you know why. And perhaps the term Count Dracula now has a whole new meaning, it seems. Two more pieces before final music break, which are linked together. There's been a lot of linking in this show tonight. But there is a rumour coming out now that Russian troops and special Spetsnaz forces are engaging in a battle against the ARVI, which is Artificial Replicating Viral Intelligence. And with the possibility that the ARVI headquarters is in Ukraine, using human drones to complete the tasks that the ARVI needed to expand global hegemony. And is this why they, the US, and indeed the Rothschilds, are panicking? Because the truth behind all of this pulls the masks away for good. Is it a coincidence that the snake on Russia's coat of arms is being slayed by the Rus? The notorious Hydra symbol that has been found on some of the vaccine batches. A tentacled creatures resembling Morgellons have been witnessed by doctors who actually cared for the truth. And are they up to another of their genetic downgrade games again? And is this a final play? An attempted of a hostile takeover using medicine to try to bring us down. Well, we can all fear over that, or stand tall and state that all other attempts have failed, and so will this one. There have been many threats on us on a foreign, international, or individual level. And it is all about a malevolent goal for world domination on a world that doesn't belong to them. That's what the people have to understand. Foreign threats, that is from outside of our world, who came to Earth not in peace, but harvesting, stealing and war. All taking place under the guise of secret societies, both global and regional, intelligence agencies, intelligent or not, dragon groups and satanic cults. And then we have the government-sponsored covert projects in the areas of drugs, mind control, terrorism and national security. But mankind has suffered from a form of darkness for most of its history, as we have found out. Except the creator source is based in the frequency of light and love, and is incapable of generating such a hideous form of energy. In creation, and in order to create, you must have a positive and negative polarity, and it is essential, it is all in balance. That is the key. Everything must be in balance. But the problem going back in time is this universe went hideously out of balance towards the dark. And as we revealed in one of the From Russia with Love Plus series, one of the Rosenthal or Finkelstein interviews, they felt a big event was required to speed things up. And to do that more quickly, it was easier to make everything go dark rather than waiting for the light event. And that is the ethos of the Black Sun cult. Now, there are beings of light on both sides of the energy forms that make up the whole, and the beings on the negative pole play an important part in creation, as without it, creation could not exist. It's all about the balance. And in the past, when beings wished to create, they were instructed that they must go to their creator in order to receive the light and energy in the form of love. And so that anything created would follow its evolutionary path to higher states of consciousness. However, some time back, of which we've heard in Cosmic Genetics 1 and 2, some of these beings of the negative polarity decided that they could create with their own energy. In other words, they wished to replace Source, and to do that, they used technology to become immortal to achieve that status. They created clones of themselves which took on a life of their own, and they have no soul light from the Creator. And they began multiplying and replicating themselves. That is what the Jewish clown Harari is talking about. But what he doesn't know is it came from his own ilk. They started that. And they do this by uploading their consciousness via technology again, and then transferring it into another vessel. And this is how the names and or titles are repeated by the same entity, but many years apart. And this is the face of evil, and it has been termed the Luciferian consciousness. Now, this type of evil is known amongst the galactic star nations by another more accurate term, artificial replicating viral intelligence, or ARVI for short. Now, we have mentioned previously about VI, virtual intelligence, and this is another form of it. and the visiting negative malevolent gods of long ago were physical, replicating strains of ARVI, and this includes all of the abnormal greys and reptilian lines of malevolent alien life forms. And these beings learned how to tap into the light bodies of beings in different galaxies, and then they would suck the life out of them, which was a full-on harvest and fest. It's all about the energy. An invasion of the Body Snatchers movie has a whole new meaning now. They then designed implants, which we've been hearing a lot about recently, in the vaccines, and ways of controlling beings so that they were enslaved like herds of cattle to be milked whenever their light was needed. And an ARVI needs to keep beings in a state of fear, just like the adrenochrome abomination. And fear leeches light from human beings through the cordings and implants that are attached to most people. That's why it's important to clear and then shield. ARVI created a huge storage supply system to keep stores of light energy via the cordons and the implants that are connected to this vast storage system. So what is that describing? That is your AI Sky Guard, right there. Harvesting our light energy by getting us to pray or be in fear. And when do people use prayer the most? When they are in fear. Please, God, come and save us. Well, actually, that God is the one that's causing it. And it's the most devious but perfect system from their point of view, as this way they can hide in the background and do not have to do much physically. They just use puppets on the surface to generate the fear and collect. And this is the life essence bottles they revealed to us in the Jupiter Ascending movie, although Stargate 1 also covers these type of technologies as well. And this was one of the reasons of the kidnapping and brutalizing of so many humans, where ruthless experiments are visited upon these people. DNA, both human and animal, is harvested in order to keep replicating the various ARVI strains. And this was the reasons behind the abductions that was forced upon us, although was also added to, I might add, by President Eisenhower, who signed Americans up for 2% of the population to be abducted, when in essence it was over 10. Here comes the host possession. ARVI has human servants, hosts, that are rewarded when they perform acts of evil. The Japanese, the generals of the US military, the Mossad in Israel, amongst others, by feeding the host ego, plenty of money and power. You have lots of power and money and material things, and you become a host for the ARVI. That is your reward. That is selling your soul. Literally, not figuratively, literally. And all wants and desires from that system are fulfilled. But if a servant rebels, then the ARVI destroys it. The classic seduction game, which never ends well for those people. Riches, wealth, titles and status are all part of the seduction of the dark forces. And this is how human sacrifice began on Earth. The viral intelligence Luciferian consciousness was a fearful demonic god that demanded to be fed blood. And in turn, it promised it would not bring violence against the tribe. And that is your fear and the hating God of the Bible. And whether people like that fact or not, it's time to grow up and see the truth for what it is. Plain ugly. But the truth, when it's accepted, is a double win. It is cathartic, and it also puts their intentions into the light to then be stopped. And blood sacrifice is still being offered up to ARVI through violence, hatred, war, and greed. And the ARVI has been clever in convincing some of humanity that it is part of the family of souls that the Creator created. No, it's not. And the ARVI strains can appear to be very loving on the surface, and real beings have been duped into making agreements and contracts to give ARVI the DNA that it needs in order to keep replicating itself. The DNA. Ancestry.com and 23andMe have been that DNA provider. Add in the PCR tests as well, and they've gained a whole treasure trove. Now, some of them, the top clouds, were fed a bullshit story by the Greys. Certainly one of them, not all of them, of their star system collapsing and needing help from Earth, which is not true. And these ARVI strains take advantage of human compassion in order to dupe people into cooperating with them, believing that they are assisting space brothers at a time of need. Yeah, right. But let it be known that all such contracts can and should be voided. And the keys to stop this are: stop praying externally, denounce all religions, do your shadow and inner work along with clearing your field, do revocations and contract cancelling, and most of all, stop living in fear. Now, this is a quote from 1980s. Russia had begun developing an astonishing new intelligence weapon. And these are organic robotoids. Yes, you heard that correctly. Organic robotoids. Remember the movie Extinction? Perhaps that explains why our population went up when the death rate spiraled after World War II. An artificial robot-like living creatures that simulate human beings. And by introducing the robotoids, the Russians were able to make a shambles of the Bolshevik plans then in progress. 1980s. Two questions stem from that. Do you still think the Russians are the problem? Is Ukraine a major battle to be won for humanity? And here's a quote that needs to be looked at more closely. Continued American leadership in artificial intelligence is of paramount importance to maintaining the economic and national security of the United States, said by Donald J. Trump. The man who brought us graphene oxide, DNA testing kits, and the program of jabs, all of which, like the black goo, is linked to the AVRI. Final question to that is, do you still think Trump is a man of the people? The role of fear, which is the main cause of organ failure, no matter which so-called fake expert denies the fact. The fear keeps us in and under control. And the fear gives them the illusion of control. They don't have control, they just have fear. They're not in control. They rely on our complicity based on fear to keep us in that bind and ultimately enslaved. Fear is also a limitation program. It encourages cowardice also, to a point where we don't fight back. And we've had all kinds of fear programs ran on us, from nuclear war to Armageddon, and all it serves is to keep us in check. In check, like the monetary note keeps us in debt to them or indebted. But fears can be flipped 180. So no matter what fear overcomes you or us, we learn to manifest a better outcome. And that is a crucial neglected policy of us all. Off we go into shitting our pants in fear like a child when we can think different and manifest a different and better outcome. Just change the mindset. Just look at the fears of the so-called experts have given us. They are not experts in truth, just experts in disinformation and utter bullshittery. And the only thing really that they've told us is,
well, you're all going to die.
That's it. But we're all still here. Before I read out this list, and before this list started, remember, they told the world, and in particular, the Russians are coming. The Russians are going to start a nuclear war. And so they created the fake Cold War. Cold is frigid, and the people came frigid with fear. But it never happened, did it? In the 1960s, we got this gem. There'll be no more oil in 10 years. In the 1970s, there'll be another ice age in 10 years. In the 1980s, acid rain will destroy all crops. In, you guessed it, 10 years. In the 1980s and 1990s, AIDS will kill us all. In the 1990s, the ozone layer will be destroyed within 10 years again. In the 2000s, ice floes will be gone in 10 years again. In 2000, Y2K will destroy everything. 2001, anthrax will kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus will kill us all. 2003, SARS will kill us all. 2005, bird flu will kill us all. 2006, E. coli will kill us all. 2008, the financial crash will kill us all. 2009, the swine flu will kill us all. In 2012, the Mayan calendar will end and we're all going to die. 2013, North Korea will start World War III and we're all going to die again. 2014, Ebola will kill us all. 2015, ISIS will kill us all. 2016, the Zika virus will turn us all into zombies, then kill us all. 2018, global warming will kill us all. 2019, CO2 will kill us all. 2020, Corona will kill us all. 2021, the vaccines will kill us all. The truth is that fear will kill us. Turn off your TVs, smartphones. Nothing happened. The truth is, the fears raised more taxes and tyranny only. Think different. Final part tonight. Seems we've gone over quite a bit tonight. COVID, biowarfare, smartphones, AI, Ukraine, Japan, medical tyranny, digital ID and currency. All overlapped and interlinked in this one show. Yet more of the convergence in terms of information. One of the great gifts of spiritual knowledge is that it realigns your sense of self. That is a personal journey. It's not a collective. So something you may have not have even ever imagined was within you. Like all life, the cosmos and way beyond. And the cosmic genetics shows revealed that as a fact, beyond our wildest understanding and comprehension. And spirituality says that even if you think you're limited and small, it simply isn't so. You're greater and more powerful than you have ever imagined, and a great and divine light exists inside of you. And this same light is also in everyone you know and everyone you will ever know in the future. Some are just more dimmers than others, a lot more dim. And you may think you're limited to just your physical body and state of affairs, including your gender, race, family, job, and status in life. But spirituality comes in and says, there is more than this. And yet people insist on labelling themselves by jobs, gender, colour and class, and failing to recognise we are all so much more. Which is why last week I held out an olive branch again for Kim and Anna, and indeed any of the former Old World players who failed us all. We have to operate above the level of childlike bickering. It hasn't served us well, them or us. And we have to operate away from just the one. The one has never worked. And I know, let's try something different. A collective. It's not rocket science. And I don't care who or what you are going forward. We can all learn to work together. And all it needs is for everyone to behave and act like a decent person or being. That's all it takes. And spirituality is about you attaining a deeper level of understanding of you. Not somebody else, just you. And your role in the dance of life that goes way beyond external or materialistic ideals. It's about tuning into the harmonic music of life, the eternal bliss, and the all-encompassing source, and knowing that you are a spark of it. It's the frequency. It's all about the frequency. Everything is frequency. Can you harness the frequency and then manifest a better outcome based on the all? We are the buckyball. Ponder on that. And yes, people who have met me all talk about the frequency next to me. But I want you to attain the same or go beyond that frequency. And it's all about elevating each other, not dragging each other down. And let's take each other to new levels of consciousness, understanding, love and compassion. That is the essence of life, not strife. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now.